Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about your sex and your happiness, and my sex and my happiness, and hopefully my guest's sex and her happiness. We are always telling you things that will increase your connection to your sexuality, your sacred body temple, and we're always telling you things about how that will make you happier when you do connect. And today really is no exception. I have a wonderful guest. She is my colleague on the ISTA faculty. She's also a lead faculty in ISTA, as I am. And we have known each other now, I don't know, maybe 3 years. And we just, when we met, we fell in love. So I'm going to tell you who she is. Her name is Komala Lira. She lives in Ayurveda yoga Tantra tradition. It's her path of integration and love and inner freedom, body and spirit. She describes herself as a tantric muse, an Ayurveda consultant, a gypsy mystic, a dakini, a dancer, an author, and she has over 30 years of experience offering inspirational programs internationally. And when I say internationally about this woman, I mean internationally, but you're going to find that out in a minute. She is never in one place. She's always somewhere on the globe. She is definitely a jet setter. She says in her description of self that she's grateful for the profound time she had living with Osho while he was still alive for over 12 years. And as I described, she's presently a lead ISTA faculty, and she's also the co-creator of Women Who See in the Dark, which, if you remember, not too long ago, I interviewed Araminta Barbour, and Araminta is the co-facilitator of Women Who See in the Dark with Komala. So, Komala, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Lovely to be connecting with you in this way. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So I said that you were international. You were born in Brazil. From what I know, you live on Ibiza, and you live somewhere else. You have lived in Germany. You have lived in Sweden. I don't know. You lived in the United States. You lived in California. You lived in Sedona. What countries am I missing where you have resided?
New York, Italy, France, Spain, Portugal. Yeah, my life has been of a lot of different tastes and discovering the essence in all the cultures, basically, really.
I find that amazing. I love that you've done that. I love that you're so free-spirited. It's clear about you. When someone meets you, they just get freedom. Freedom, freedom. This woman isn't free, and she will not be tethered to anything. She is free. And I love that about you. It makes you very unique. And also, you speak many languages.
That's true also.
And that is a tremendous talent. It's something to be admired, especially when you're from the United States, which I am. Most people in the United States only speak English, and they expect the whole rest of the world to accommodate English, and it's so nice when somebody can speak other languages. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about Women Who See in the Dark, but before we do that, I want to talk about, how did you get the way you are?
Wow, that's a good question. this is a question I ask myself, you know, if we come with a soul clarity, which I feel I did since I was a child. Somehow my mother told me that when I was 6 years old, I told her that I would never get married and I would live abroad and that I would never have kids and that I was going to be a butterfly. So I think I I followed my own tracks. Somehow there was always this sense that from in my life, since I was very young, that the most important thing was to find out what was love and what was freedom. And I guess I came with this program, this soul imprint or something like that. Was never doubtful, and I never had a life, and then it changed all of a sudden. And I already came out very young with that intention and that clarity. So sometimes it's not so easy for me to relate to people that have a life that had more confinement and in not knowing what they're doing, and then suddenly opening up and discovering, which is very much what I facilitate, this discovery for what is really deeply meaningful for your heart, for your soul, for your body.
Well, just what you just said, what you told your mother when you were six, now I know why I relate to you so perfectly. Because I told my mother a similar thing. I said, I'm not getting married. I'm not doing what you did. I have no interest in it. I don't need that kind of security. I'm secure in myself. And I'm going to make a difference in the world. And that's the only thing I care about. And by being a wife and a mother, that's not big enough for me. So you and I, we sat on the same track. Unbeknownst until we met.
We come from the same star.
Can you say that again?
I guess we come from the same star.
Yeah, the same star, the same mold. Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm so glad that we met. So, let's see. So that would have brought you to Osho. It's interesting that you found your way to Osho. And for the listeners who don't know, I mean, I've done many shows about Osho. But this for sure will be special because this woman actually lived there. She actually lived in the Osho ashram. I'm not sure. We'll find out whether she lived in the India one or she lived in the one in Oregon, but or both. But I was introduced to Osho by my father. Osho was a mystic, a brilliant teacher, a tantra master, and he was around until 1990, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but they say that he was poisoned by the United States government, and I believe some of that. Anyway, he was a great teacher of mine, but later, only in death, did I really get into Osho, after his death. But my father was into him while he was alive, and that was my introduction to Osho. You found your way to Osho at what age? What would you say? I think you were in India, yeah?
Yeah, I was 26, 27. I had already moved to Europe when I was a teenager and to study, but also there was this passion inside that I have to find out what love is, and it's not about, you know, having some man at home. And somehow the model that was available wasn't my model. I did get married at 20, but in a very different way with someone that was very into exploring our humanity in a very different way. He was an artist and was a miracle and a gift that I received so much inspiration and so much partnership from that level when I was so young. Very grateful to this person. But from there, I realized there was always this deep thing. There was more than that. And I had everything I could imagine, beautiful work and money and amazing man and a lot of experiences that we're doing with all the people already in those days, which was very unusual and ahead of time. But then we separated and I went to India not knowing anything. I almost died I got sick. And in the taste of death, this was very important to me. There was an exquisiteness of this dissolving it just touched me so strongly. And I intuitively had this feeling, I have to go to India. I knew nothing about India. But I had seen people in Ibiza, because I was living in Ibiza, dressed up in beautiful clothes from India. And somehow that brought something inside that I just know I have to go to this place. So there I met Osho in a series of coincidences. I never heard of a master. I didn't know what anything of this was. But it was an immediate recognition that this was what I've been looking for since I was a child. I don't know how to say it's crazy, but that was the feeling I had. And in those days, there was a community with thousands of Europeans and people from all over. And I said, I'm never living here. This is where I'm supposed to be. So I lived in India a few years, and then we moved to Oregon. I moved to Oregon, and then we moved back to India until Osho died. So from the moment I met him till he died, except for going in some trips for short time visa, you know, exchanging passports and visas, I stayed with him for the whole time. And that was an experience that I don't think it's even possible to describe, because I feel he opened up the collective to another layer of consciousness and daring into being real and being connected in a deeper level with our body and spirit together. Mm. It was an experiment that it was contained, because in those days, you know, nobody knew what meditation was. Tantra wasn't a word. Nowadays, everything is very out there. But he, first thing he told me, he said, "You are Tantra. You are no Tantra, Tantric." And I didn't know what that was. So, but I thought, okay, he said so. So I was more remembering. But then there was a strong download of memories that came while I was in India. For the years that I was there, it was like lots of memories of what I would say past lives and experience I have had that were inside my bones and my cells in this life that were flowering and opening and becoming realized again in manifestation for my expression. So that was facilitated by his powerful, you know, emptiness and energy and community that was a support for all that.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful that you found your way. Now, I want to let you know, you come in a line of very Osho-oriented people that I have interviewed and have talked about similar things, like by surprise they found him. I have interviewed Margo Anand. I've interviewed Sarita, Ma Anand Sarita. And I've interviewed many times Krishna Prem.
Uh-huh.
Who I know you know all these people. And yeah. And Krishna Prem is like the... He's like the... He reminds me of a court jester. He's like the court jester of Osho. Anyway, I've interviewed him many times, and he said this similar things. You know, he was sitting eating lunch somewhere, and someone came up to him and said, "You need to go to Pune." And, you know, he showed up there and all of a sudden self-realized all these things that were brewing inside of him. And that we're always locked there, like what you're saying. And all of a sudden you had these memories and these feelings and this intuition about all of it. And so you stayed. Anyway, so I just wanted to let you know, like it seems a common story. Like somebody feels compelled to go to India at that time. And then all of a sudden, yes, they found Osho. And that's exactly precisely what they were supposed to do.
It is interesting when you there was no fax, phone, no internet, no emails, no Facebook, and we found a way. So there is a high order here that doesn't depend on electronics.
Yeah.
And now we forget that. How did we find our way? Because that's the story of almost everybody. There was no other way but intuitive guidance that and series of synchronicities that led so many people there.
Yeah.
You know, and like New York was in the middle of pretty much tucked away town in India that wasn't even a, you know, a major town. So I, since then, really have a very deep trust in that intuition and that guidance that comes from deep inside, you know, that doesn't time, many times doesn't have explanation, doesn't have any logic. And nowadays we're so guided by logic and facts and so yes. I'm grateful that I still have that inside me.
You know, my guide, my Indian guide, who's also been interviewed by me on this show, his name is Amit Arora. And Amit, the first minute when I got to India, which wasn't until 2005, the first thing he said to me was, "Lori, India has no logics."
So, it does not. Even with emails and faxes, it still doesn't have.
Right. That's right. That's what he said to me, and it cracks me up anytime I think of that. Anyway, we're going to take a short break here. I really appreciate the explanation that you gave and the way you talked about finding your way and the intuition. It's so important for people to balance their intuition with all the logic and all the technology that we have. So we're going to break here for a second, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your current project, your current love, which is Women Who See in the Dark retreats, and then we'll talk about other stuff like ISTA and anything else. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I am interviewing Komala Lira, who is my friend and colleague. And this is a woman who really has danced through life, finding her way intuitively to whatever she gets into. And she doesn't take anything for granted. She just simply moves with how spirit moves her. Knowing her is quite the experience of that. So we will be right back. Please stay tuned.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world And I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the love writer in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back, and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, LUVRYDR. We're back with Sex and Happiness. And again, I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And today I'm interviewing Komala Lira, who describes herself as these wonderful things: a tantric muse, an Ayurveda consultant, a gypsy mystic, Dakini, dancer, author. And she has 30 years of experience offering inspirational programs internationally. So I'm inspired just listening to you and, you know, where you have come from and what you've done and how you just moved. Your connection with Tantra, I'm assuming that came from Osho, but maybe it came from some other sources. When you say that you're a tantric muse, can you tell me more about that?
Well, in my flow in India, when I arrived in India, I basically decided I'd go there to die because I didn't want to live in the West anymore, and I was young and crazy. And so for a year, I was just going around the India. It didn't matter where I would go. I don't even know where I really have been. And in this flow, I end up in a tantric tribe in the south of India. And I receive a very strong initiation there, which only a while later, I realized what really had happened and where I was. And afterwards, I came to the ashram and met Osho. And he told me I was a tantric and that I was supposed to be, you know, offering groups there. And so I started offering groups, and he said, you don't need to know anything. I will be coming with you. And in those days, I just trusted that if, you know, he said, it will happen. So I was basically remembering very deeply many lives where I was in tantra communities and where I really knew energetics from the body from a very refined way. And that had also always been connected with my sexuality since very young. It was always for me, since I was very young, a portal to a space of silence and connection with cosmic energy. And when I was young and my friends were having babies and really basically fucking, and they could not understand what I was talking about, and I also didn't know exactly what it was. And in India, through Osho and through you know, really connecting with those memories, I realized that yes, I had many lifetimes of training, and that I had a sensitivity that had been developed, and, you know, or I was born like this. Doesn't matter what explanation you give. And I started offering retreats and workshops already within the community, within the ashram, and that became my work. Before, I was a dancer and a painter. And Osho said, no, this is your work. You are to be offering, you know, programs for people, which in those days were called group leading, which were really not really about leading anybody, but about listening and moving energy to a place where people would open up and touch that space where the body and spirit are one. And I guess somehow intuitively I came down to this life with that. And of course I was trained intensely many, 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 many techniques of therapy. And we were sitting with Osho every day, so had a very strong practice of meditation because we work 7 days a week, nonstop. There was no day off.
Right. Well, it was life. It wasn't a job. It was life.
It was, yeah. So, and it was like between being every day in a group room, giving sessions, making love, which was very much part of our lives, and receiving, you know, this power of transmission of spirit that Osho used to pass on through us by sitting in silence with us. So that's my training, you know, and that's what I understand Tantra is this non-dual, dissolving the duality between body and spirit. And I feel that I had that training, a life in a community where we're all being trained in that way, because it was a tantric community where we had, you know, a very intense life, physical, energetically, sexual, sensuous, and then we had very profound meditation. Until today, I feel that your capacity to absorb and integrate energy flow is absolutely necessary from the experience of silence and meditation that opens the capacity to absorb. It's like you eat food, and if you don't digest, it's good for nothing. and nowadays I see a lot of, you know, I don't want to go much into that, but a lot of activation without increasing the power of the absorption, which, yes, put it very true, but it doesn't make you move really into another layer inside of being able to manage or to sit and to stand on the power of being fully alive.
Well said. So well said. Well described. Well put. Beautiful. Very beautiful. Well, let's talk about what you've created now, the Women Who See in the Dark retreats. Let's talk about that a little bit, because you have more coming up. You've scheduled them worldwide with Araminta. I know that your first run was successful. She and I were on the show just before you did that. So what did you hope to accomplish with that? It's quite a title, Women Who See in the Dark. What does that mean? And, you know, what do you want to tell us about that?
Well, for many years, I offered women retreats and different formats. And then 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I decided to take a break because I felt there is something that I need to listen to, what is really happening with women nowadays. And as you know, I give workshops all over the world and also facilitating for Easter and, I mean, many different countries. But I started collecting the essence of what it is that's happening with women nowadays. There's a lot about the goddess, I'm great, and there's a lot of women alone complaining that men are not there. So refining all this, what I realize is like, wow, right now there is most women I internalize a very distorted masculine. They learn how to be independent. They learn how to make money. They learn how to have babies without a man. You know, you can have insemination if you don't have a man or anything, or you can say, thank you, I just want your sperm and I will have the kid. There is like a kind of a warrior kind of energy that says, I don't need you. And at the same time, there is this incredible longing that most women have to still find the prince, and it should come in the white horse. So in a generation up to, I would say, I don't know, 20 years ago, there is a real acknowledgement, and there is a real, like, I want a man, I'm waiting for the husband or to the lover. There was like a clarity that was stated, and it was like, yeah, you can be frustrated, you can fight, but it was something real. Nowadays, what I feel is a lot of women are experimenting with different models, having many lovers, and or having one lover that is just kind of loose, doesn't matter. But the reality is that they're pretending that they're very free and loose, and underneath there is a lot of conditioning still that's operating, and the spiritual bypass and the goddess archetype is being put on top of a lot of hidden conditioning and a lot of hidden fantasies and dreams and longings that are not being really, you know, acknowledged. So they internalize the masculine in a way that the masculine has been distorted as a warrior, as a domination. And then, of course, they're surprised that the men didn't come for them. What I hear from the men also, because I work with men and women, is that the men are learning how to be more vulnerable. They're learning how to be not needed, but to stand, to support the feminine or a woman, as you want to say, if we're talking about men and women. But I see that as a process internally for both men and women, that the masculine is learning how to be more vulnerable and to stand strong in that vulnerability and support the femininity to unfold, not to fight. So this retreat, then I felt, yeah, this is what we need to look now. And the other thing that I have noticed, that women have lost the power of collaboration in creativity. There's a lot of ambition, a lot of I can do it, you know, and a lot of women work in a more masculine environment or have created business based in masculine models, and they're very successful, but they don't have the merging and the beauty of creating together with other women, which in many traditions women do beading together or quilting or whatever. But there was a beauty in that level of collaboration, that the tribe would use the power of the alliance between the woman to sustain and nourish. And of course there was a lot of women that are depleted, depressed, and have a lot of health issues. As an Ayurvedic consultant for many years, I also see that a lot of the infertility comes out of stress, comes out of a level of acidity in the body, that doesn't matter how many, how much you go to improve your hormone levels, blah, blah, blah. If your body is acidic, especially through stress, you're not going to get pregnant, because you need to have a pH balance, very ideal to have a fetus growing in your womb. So I feel this is in the level of body, you know, mind, spirit, and heart. So I was walking one day with a very close friend who is only 24, but she's an old soul, and she said to me, "Oh, Kamala, we're talking about this next," and she said, I love to walk in the dark, and I do walk a lot in the dark. And so she said to me, "This should be the title of your next group, Woman Who See in the Dark, because that's who you see. That's how you are.
That's
you can
so
see
great.
Right, and you see things that are hidden, and we love to walk in the dark." So I said, "Oh, great title. You know, it's not the usual title." And as soon as I announced that, I started receiving so many invitations. Nobody even knew what that was. So I haven't decided that I'm going to do that in 10 different countries, but we already have 10 different bookings around the world. So after each one of those retreats, which we did two, the group is deciding what kind of project they are bringing together. So for the first group that we did in the first retreat in Guatemala, there will be a film coming out. There was three filmmakers.
Wow.
And yeah. And so the second one, there is a book for children, like series of books for children.
Uh-huh.
They're called The Girl That Sees in the Dark. And a book for women, because there was a lot of people involved with publishing and illustration. It's funny. So I don't know what is going to come next, because next month we have a retreat in Prague, and then in Israel in September, the end of September, then in India in February, then in Portugal, and a few others. So it is basically that we bring four key questions.
Hold on 1 second, because I want to just...
Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk to you about this before you tell me that, you know, before you tell me the specifics. So this came out of what I'm understanding you saying is that this came out of your conversation with a woman because you like to walk in the dark. I mean, I experienced Brazil in the jungle with you, and it was very dark. So you had to have flashlights. And so I experienced that part of you, that essence of you that's so comfortable. I've experienced you in like posh environment of a of a beautiful, fancy catamaran and beautiful, fancy accommodations in Greece to being in the jungles of Brazil, you know, with no electricity and very little, you know, there was running water, but, you know, not a lot of accoutrement. And there you were, totally at home. So I just want to acknowledge that this got born out of your love of the challenge, I guess, or of the risk, or of just, you know, your innate ability to, like, see the hidden.
Yeah, I guess I do have this multidimensional, I don't know, like, so many facets that I can be, you know. I grew up in a really high-end situation, and also, like, in Brazil, there's a lot of poverty and a lot of nature, so between these two extremes, and I, you know, come from a castle in France to the jungle of Brazil, and to, you know, a mansion in Ibiza, to a little hut in Portugal. I don't know, my life is like always welcome, and there is a sense that everything, every situation conveys a message if I'm completely there receiving it. And when it's not good, I say it's not good and I leave.
Well, there is one other thing too, though, that you, like, even how you dress, like, you dress elegantly if you're walking barefoot in the jungle, the same way as you would dress elegantly walking into a nightclub in Ibiza. You might not be wearing the same shoes with the elegant dress and the pearls and whatever, but you're just as dressed going to a naked beach and taking off the elegant dress as you are walking into a club and, like, being amongst, you know, the Illuminati or whatever. I mean, I just have to say that about you, because not many people have that that kind of flexibility to be in your own essence wherever you go. That's a tremendous skill, and I want to bring bearing to that. You know, maybe that can only come from an outsider observing you. You know, maybe to you it's just like natural, you just do what you do. But for me, you know, if I'm thinking about where I'm going, like, I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to wear there, or how am I going to, or am I going to be able to bring a pair of high heels or whatever, and I'm going to do different things. But when I see you, you just, like, elegantly switch from city to jungle. It's amazing. It's an amazing talent. So I just want to acknowledge that, because you are a woman who is comfortable in her skin, and you are a woman who is comfortable in the dark, and you're a woman who is comfortable being elegant. All right, so now you were going to tell us the four questions that you ask in the course.
Yeah, so these are actually six questions that I boiled out to be the questions that will bring forward what is the most hidden and the most twisted or most distorted from the masculine that has been internalized in the feminine. And one of the things that really, really touched me very deeply many years ago is when I realized the vulnerability of the masculine in the men that were surrounding me. And I had a very strong epiphany, so to speak, that changed my relationship with men in a very specific way. Just realizing how delicate it was to offer your power. You know, an erection for me became like an offer of vulnerability. What if it's not received? Mm-hmm. And I started understanding the violence that is rampant now, because this is not being received in the planet. Truly, it has been pushed and shoveled and, you know, and aggressively given, but is not being offered with vulnerability because it's not being received. So there is a dance there that I feel that the shift that will happen maybe. I don't do this for the planet. I feel this is for me and for my life and my understanding, and whoever comes along in receiving that as something useful for them. Because I don't have like Mother Teresa kind of or you know, serving the planet kind of ideas. But I feel that for me, what I've been looking is how this integration is serving me more and more to become a person that can relate more and more free in love. No matter how this love manifests, what kind of relationship I am or am not, or how people relate to me, is like how free I am in my offer to love. And I see that without understanding that part, I wasn't so free as I am now, and it's still a process of unfolding. That lack of connection with the vulnerability in the masculine creates a dynamic that is not very harmonious, and we can see for what's happening now. And then people want to hold things down. I want to be monogamous, or I want to be polyamorous, or I want to be this, I want to be that. Even in the polyamorous language, I am the primary one, you are the secondary one, and if the third one comes, it's like still about control and hierarchy. And for me, love cannot be controlled, and there is no hierarchy in love. And I'm feeling sometimes very strange because I had many, you know, relationships that were, you know, could be framed in some kind of name. Yeah, this is my lover, my boyfriend, my husband, whatever. And nowadays I can't frame anything.
Wow. You're just, in this conversation that you're just having with me, you are putting words to things I am feeling. Like inside myself, I've always said, like, why do I want to define myself as something that sounds like bug spray? You know, like monogamy and polyamory, they sound like foreign terms, like they don't sound like human. And I've always said, you know, I don't define myself as anything because it sounds like something toxic. You know, and making a framework in which to control everything. I don't know. You've just made some answers to some internal questions that I have, and I don't know what to do with them. And now we're talking about them, so it's really great. And so there's no mistakes. There's probably a lot of people of my listeners listening to this show who needed to hear what you just said. You know. Like, just that someone is out there questioning all this and saying, just let love flow.
Wow. And what I experience is, like, more it flows, deeper I'm trusting myself, because who cannot receive cannot receive. But the gifts that I receive by giving and being present and respecting who doesn't want to receive as well, it is just so far, so amazingly, it's many, many years in my life now that I live in a very I always lived in a way that didn't have much explanation or much logic or much frame, but it's becoming more and more. And lucky enough, there is a few people on the planet like you and some of our friends that are daring to just stand there, because there is no way back. There is, for me, there's no way back.
No. There isn't. I mean, we've made choices that can't go back. What is there to go back to?
Yeah, exactly. I was talking to a woman the other day that was in a very deep space of dark space, and she started laughing because she said, I realize when I look back that I don't see the past. There is nothing to go back to. And I said, yeah, that's exactly the beauty, because there is only the unfolding of what your richness is. And there is a few people that are just daring to live like this. And I feel I don't have a choice anymore. Maybe I never had. I don't know.
Yeah, I always say that. I never had a choice. When people say, actually, they asked me that when they were asking me the Estelle leads at the time. 3 years ago or whenever, maybe it was almost 4 years ago when we met in Greece, and they were asking me whether they wanted to make me a lead facilitator for ISTA or not. And they said, you know, why do you want to be a lead? And I started laughing at them you know, Bruce and Des and Ohad and Janine and Andrew at the time, I said, I looked at them and I just broke out laughing and I said, why do I want to be a lead? Leadership does not occur as a choice for me. I said, I walk into any situation and I lead. So you can do whatever you want. I don't care. I lead.
Exactly. And there is many ways to lead, and you can't, you know, it can be, sometimes I'm super quiet in a corner, and then what to do? It's like, I feel it's like the power of radiance that is like electricity. If you put your plug in a current that is like 500 volts, it will be 500 volts. You cannot pretend it's 60. It's just because it's hot, you know?
Right. Perfect. So good. All right, we're going to cut to a break here right now. And if you are listening to this show, you are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm interviewing Komala Lira. She is a kindred spirit to me, and yet I'm learning just even now from her and what she's sharing on this show. She really is a mystic. It's wonderful to hear what she's saying and to put. She's putting words to some things that for me have been not audible. Maybe they've been audible, but I haven't been able to articulate them and distinguish. And all of a sudden, here it is, and here she is. So stay tuned. We're coming back for one more segment. We're going to find out how you get in touch with her, how you can find out about women who see in the dark, and also about anything else she's doing, which we both share, ISTA. So we'll be right back. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135, and say Lori Handler has told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. When?
October 14th to the 21st, 2017.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
This is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm interviewing Komala Lira, and she's just given us so much real gifts and nuggets of knowledge that are coming from her. So I have, let's see, let's find out how people can get in touch with you and about where, how they can find out about the retreats, because giving specific dates may or may not work. I never know when people, they may download this show immediately, but they may not listen to it right away. So when, so how can they get in touch with you? Like, what would be the best website or the best contact place?
Well, I have a website on my name, Komala Lira, KOMALALYRA.com. And that has my calendar, different events, programs for Mista. Then we have womanwhosee.com. Which has specifically the programs that we are offering for women. And we have the next one in September from the 4th to the 10th of September in Prague. Then we have in another one in Israel in the beautiful desert in an amazing location, Moa Center in the Arava Desert in the south of Israel from the 24th to 29th of September. Then we have in India, 21st to 27th of February in Goa, in another beautiful location. And then we have it in France and a castle in the end of April, 22 to 27th of April. And then in Portugal in May, 21st to 28th of May to the 4th of June. So that's way ahead of time already.
Yeah, so the first ones, I'm just going to give the dates of the year. So the first ones you're talking about are 2017, and then when you're talking about April and May, you're talking about 2018.
February, April, and May is 2018.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, good. Very good. So, and they would get in touch with you at your website. I'm going to spell your name again. Komala Lira, KOMALALYRA.com, or women who see in the dark.com. Wonderful. Let me ask you if there's a nugget or there's anything else, like I didn't ask you, but there's something that you really feel you want to say to my listeners, anything, men or women, because I have about 60% female listenership and 40% male listenership. And I would say my listeners are probably between the ages of 35 and 60. That's more my demographic than say millennials. So anything you want to let them know that you, that just is right there for you?
I complete a little bit about the woman. Just one thing that's very important is that the questioning that we're making with 5-6 very specific questions are not responded in ways that you think about or that you have reflections, but they responded with creative power and with creative expression. So every day we have, I have the reflections coming through different creative activities. So it empowers a lot of creative energy to women in different way that they use. So to men and women together, what I feel is that in this moment, it is crucial to be present to each other internally as male-female qualities inside us and in the outside. And in the end, it doesn't really matter if you're gay, straight, transgender. It is all like we're all the same. And the essence of our love, it doesn't depend on gender. It doesn't depend on our genitals. It doesn't depend on, you know, how you like. It doesn't depend on culture. And this is what amazes me when I work around the world, that most of the time now, especially in the Easter programs, but also in the women programs, we have like in 30 people, we have 18 nationalities. And we are all really looking for the same. It's like how to free our love for life force. How to let that power of life really move through us and turning to love. Love is the openness where life force is moving through us. And of course, if we are holding back the roots, if we are holding back our sexual power, doesn't mean that we should go around making love to every person, but it's like the feeling of cultivating the roots, feeling that we are vibrating from the ground up, no matter what and how you do and interact with others, is what is representing the care for everything. Today I was reading there is more than 15 million people in America taking antidepressants, and this is a statistic. Imagine the ones that are not in the statistics.
Right.
15 million people. So it is a very strange thing. And I know more than 10 people that committed suicide in the last year and a half, between 20 and 50 years old.
Right.
So it is a moment where this disconnection with body and disconnection with spirit, people are like ghosts. There's so many, like everything is fine, but it's nothing's fine because most people are not really deeply connected with their soul nor with their body. And it's like in this between state. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's not much satisfaction. There's not much vibration. There's not much meaning in life if you're just like a robot doing what you're supposed to do. So I feel it's the time for me. It's a time to dare to really find out and put everything I have continuously into doing that for myself. And in doing that for myself, I'm inviting others to come along because that's the only thing I can do.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. It's a very powerful invitation. It's like if life is so meaningless, then do something. Take action. Taking antidepressants is doing nothing. It's sitting down. It's sitting back and allowing something to act upon you when, in fact, what's required is action and commitment to connecting your body, mind, and spirit. So no, good. So good.
It's meant to find out. Is really, you know, meaningful. Why did you come back? Why did you come back into a body? One of the most powerful sensations was not even a realization, was a moment of experiencing that, which, you know, I experienced that having almost died a few times when I was very young. It was like the energy that it takes to come back into a body, the power that it takes that I don't know where it comes from, that a spirit manifests in a physical form. And I realized in those moments where I was almost dying that that my intention was very strong, that it was still time to hang in here and allow that intention to unfold. That's what I feel more and more. And also once I heard something that made me cry for days, someone said, well, if we only realize how we live out of crumbs. And I burst into tears. And in that time, I had an amazing life. But I just knew inside me that there was much more of my own fluidity, much more of that was possible to allow. It was not even about doing. It's just about life, letting life pass through you. We have so many opportunities that we just say no to. And say yes to the opportunities that make me the most alive, the most vibrant, the most joyful, the most full of pleasure, the most full of respect for whoever is with me. And it's so easy, especially when you already have a lot, to say, oh, yeah, well, I'm okay the way I am. I already have. It's good enough, you know. It's what is good enough? The good enough for me is when I'm totally blasted off from life, you know, that I really have no idea what to hold to.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for that wisdom. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. And I mean, we're definitely in different time zones, and we made it. So I thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate you so much. I'm very glad you're in my life, and now you're in the life of, you know, 100,000 other people. So
I love you so much, and it's such a joy to have you as my beloved companion in this journey that is just unfolding more and more, full of beauty and grace and honorability and love, basically.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Thank you. So everybody, you have heard Komala Lira speak, and don't take anything she said lightly, or take it lightly, but take it in. This has been wonderful. So I invite you to listen in next time when I'll have another profound guest, another amazing person, talking about sex and happiness and how they go together and how it's so important to connect your body, mind, and spirit. This is Laurie Handlers signing off. For Sex and Happiness, thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.